Is it equally valid to have a protagonist who's considered and uncontrolled? In other words, you could just throw this completely open?
Well, not completely, and we'll see that in a moment. When you judge the objective characteristics we're looking at here, the way to judge them in analyzing a story as opposed to creating it is to go to the end of the story and say, how do we see them once we know everything the author's going to tell us about it? Because anywhere along the point, the unfolding of the story, you might think that they're a completely different character. You're never really sure who anybody is, although you might be more and more sure because it becomes more and more constraining and more difficult to make them turn into something else at the end of the story, depending on how it's told in your storytelling. But once it's all over, then you can make a determination and say, this guy was this or that guy was that.
Characters.
You have to build characters. Which I guess is where we ought to go next. We had these 16 characters, and they were only motivations. We were, like everyone else, swayed by what's driving our characters, what's motivating, and we thought that's all there was to characters. In fact, you find a lot of people who never go any farther than that. And if you're using archetypes, sometimes you really don't have to. If you have characters that just have motivations and they're archetypal and you outline that this is who they are, then it doesn't really matter to have any more. You just know what's driving them, and then whatever they do, as long as it's consistent with their drive, is kind of okay. It's shorthand again. That's not really what's happening to the audience, though. When you supply archetypal motivations for characters, they're not just saying there's nothing else here. There's actually three other layers of characteristics, of elements, three other character dimensions that exist that the audience fills in for you. Those are the conventions of society, the conventions of story, as we've created our storytelling, is that the default value is archetypes. And only as we begin to veer from those and show it to the audience will they be then saying these aren't archetypal characters. Remember, they will assume archetypal unless told otherwise. So the audience is really filling in all of this, but most authors who are writing in archetypes are not aware of these other dimensions that are being filled in. Why do people say we have to have three-dimensional characters? Because we look at things in three dimensions, of course. You know, they want them well-rounded, and you can't have anything rounded unless it's in three dimensions. Characters have to be in four dimensions. Now, there's one mistake a lot of people make before we show another one that actually is why they miss a whole dimension. One of them is that they say, what's this character's motivation? Well, this character wants to be president. That's not the character's motivation, that's the character's purpose. Their purpose is to be president. Their motivation is they never have any power as a child. Well, if they never had any power as a child, they might have a purpose to be president, or they might have a purpose to be a teacher, or they might have a purpose to be in the military where they could command people. Any one of those purposes might satisfy that motivation of not having any power. That's what's driving them. What they are driven to in this particular case is to be president. So first it's important to separate motivations from purposes.
Goal.
Right, goal, in a sense, or what they hope to achieve, or where they hope to end up, or what they'd like to be, anything like that.
Or the direction they'd like to go. It doesn't have to be a specific thing. It could be just moving along a certain way.
Progress in a certain direction, or a certain degree of progress that they want to make. So when you're looking at motivations, these are not the things that they are aspiring to be. These are the things that drive them to try and achieve something else. Once you separate that, you've got these two, but then you say, okay, here's a character who has drive, motivation, and they have purposes of things they want to achieve. They got to get there, and they do it with their methodologies. They have to have some means that they employ, some method that they employ, so their drive, their motivation, through their methodology, they hope to achieve their purpose. Because it's not just going to happen by sitting there being driven toward it, wanting it. They have to go through the medium and accomplish it. Now, that's where you get your three-dimensional characters. Well, if anybody ever goes this deep into theory, and that's pretty deep into theory for people who want to sit down and just write, okay? But to realize you need those three dimensions, that's very fulfilling. But you miss something very important. These are objective characters, yes. But remember, they have internal and external traits. And in fact, this other dimension, means of evaluation, is how they judge how well their methodology is working to get them to their purpose. Because they're going to have to know if they need to put more drive into it, or maybe they have to think about that purpose and change purposes, or maybe they have to change the methodology or rearrange things in their methodology, see if it's working. That's the kind of thing that allows characters to have a full roundness to them that we see as real people. Because in real life, we don't just sit down and say, I'm driven by this and I want to get that, so I'm going to do this, and then we just go on and do it until it's there or it doesn't happen. Every step of the way we're saying, is this working? Am I getting anywhere? Am I achieving what I want to achieve? And we're looking around at other people saying, what do they think of me while I'm doing this? And how is this affecting other things outside of my direct course? Is it having an impact over here, an impact over there?